We're reading Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 20, entitled Lord Vishnu's Appearance in the Sacrificial Arena of Maharaj Prithu. This morning, text number 13. Sama samano tama madhyama dhamma Sukhe cha dukhe cha jitendriya shaya Mayo paklapta kila loka samyuto Vidatsva vira kila loka rakshanam Translation. My dear heroic king, please keep yourself always equipoised and treat people equally, whether they are greater than you in the intermediate stage or lower than you. Do not be disturbed by temporary distress or happiness. Fully control your mind and senses. In this transcendental position, try to execute your duty as king in whatever condition of life you may be posted by my arrangement. For your only duty here is to give protection to the citizens of your kingdom. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Here is an example of receiving direct instruction from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu. One has to execute the order of Lord Vishnu, whether receiving it directly from him or from his bona fide representative, the spiritual master. Arjuna fought the battle of Kurukshetra under the direct order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna. Similarly here, Prithu Maharaj is also being given orders by Lord Vishnu regarding the execution of his duty. We have to stick to the principle stated in the Bhagavad Gita. Vayavasayatmika buddhi. Every man's duty is to receive orders from Lord Krishna or from his bona fide representative and must take these orders as his life and soul without personal considerations. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur states that one should not care very much whether he is going to be liberated or not, but he should simply execute the direct order received from the spiritual master. If one sticks to the principle of abiding by the order of the spiritual master, he will always remain in a liberated position. A common man must execute the rules and regulations of Varnashram Dharma by working in his prescribed duty according to the caste system, Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya and Sudra, and the spiritual order system, Brahmachari, Grihastha, Vanaprastha and Sannyas. If one simply executes regularly and strictly the injunctions given for the different divisions of life, then one satisfies Lord Vishnu. As a king, Prithu Maharaj was ordered by Lord Vishnu to keep himself always aloof from the activities of the bodily situation and to engage always in the service of the Lord and thus keep himself in the liberated stage. The word Badasorida in the previous verse is explained herewith. One can fully remain in intimate connection with the Supreme Lord directly or receive orders from his bona fide representative, the spiritual master, and execute the orders sincerely when one keeps aloof from the activities of the body. The Lord helps us by giving us directions how to act in devotional service and thus advance on the path back home, back to Godhead. He instructs us outwardly in the form of the spiritual master. Therefore, one should not accept the spiritual master as an ordinary human being. The Lord says, Acharyam mam vijaniyam navamanyeta karichit. One should not treat the spiritual master as an ordinary human being, for he is the substitute for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One should treat the spiritual master as the Supreme Personality of Godhead and never be envious of him or consider him to be an ordinary human being. If we follow the instruction of the spiritual master and execute devotional service to the Lord, we will remain always free from the contamination of bodily and material activities, and our life will be successful. Om agyana timirandasya gnanjana chalakaya chaksur militanyena tasmai shri gurave namaha vanchakalpatarubhyascha kripa sindhu bhayevacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavibhyo namo namaha jai shri krishna chaitanya prabhu nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Translation again. My dear heroic king, please keep yourself always equipoised and treat people equally, whether they are greater than you in the intermediate stage or lower than you. Do not be disturbed by temporary distress or happiness. Fully control your mind and senses. In this transcendental position, try to execute your duty as king in whatever condition of life you may be posted by my arrangement. For your only duty here is to give protection to the citizens of your kingdom. So Srila Prabhupada describes how this is instructions coming from the Supreme Lord Vishnu, given to Prithu Maharaj. Just as on the battlefield, Lord Krishna gave instructions to Arjuna. Prabhupada explains that one should take the instructions of the spiritual master as one's life and soul. Indeed, Srila Prabhupada, before he went to the West, was also studying the Bhagavad Gita, and he came across this verse from the second chapter, Vaya Vasayatmika Buddhi Ekeha Kuranandana Bahushakahi Anantascha Buddhayo Vaya Vasayinam. Those who are on this path are resolute in determination, and their aim is one. O beloved child of the Kurus, the intelligence of those who are irresolute is many branched. So in the purport of this verse, Prabhupada read the commentary by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur described that unless one takes the order of the spiritual master very seriously as one's life and soul, and unless one dedicates his life to executing and fulfilling the order of the spiritual master, then one's life is useless. So Srila Prabhupada reflected on this verse and on the commentary by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, and he recalled how his own spiritual master had instructed him from their very first meeting. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati had said, "You are a nice young man. Why do you not preach the message of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu?" And then before Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati departed from this world, Srila Prabhupada wrote to him saying that, "I'm a grihastha and you have many sannyasi disciples. I am not able to work like them. How can I serve you? Please give me some instruction." So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati instructed him that you try to preach whatever you have heard and try to preach that to others in the English language. And that will be good for you and good for those who hear you. So Prabhupada reflected on these instructions from his spiritual master, and he got the inspiration that he should go to the West. And Prabhupada then made arrangements to find somebody to sponsor him, that he could go to America. And then with great difficulty, he got sponsorship on a boat to go to visit America, and somehow he was able to come out successful. So Prabhupada instructed us how all of this came about, that it was due to his faith in the order of the spiritual master. The spiritual master gives instruction, we must take it very seriously. Yasya deve parabhaktir tata deve tata guru tashyaiti prakitahyarta prakashanti mahatmana. It is said, one should have as much faith in the order of the spiritual master as one has in the order of the Supreme Lord. Yeah, equal faith. We should not have more faith in the instruction of Guru than we have in the instruction of God. And neither should we have more faith in the instruction of God than we have in the instruction of Guru. But it should be the same. Because the spiritual master is the representative of the Supreme Lord. So the instructions are the same. In Chaitanya Lila, there's an example of when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in Trichy, the man was reading Bhagavad Gita, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw that he could not read very well. Indeed, other men were laughing at him because he was reading it so poorly. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also saw that this Brahmana was shedding tears. And so when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu inquired from him what he was doing, the man replied that my spiritual master told me every day I must read one chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, or I must read the Bhagavad Gita. So when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard this, he said, very good. He said, you have faith in the order of the spiritual master. Surely you will be successful. Faith in the order of the spiritual master. We must take that order very seriously. Then we can be successful. The instructions of the spiritual master are none different from the instructions of the Lord. Because a bona fide spiritual master will only instruct us according to the instructions of the Supreme Lord. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came and propagated the Yuga Dharma, Harinam Sankirtan. And the representatives of Lord Chaitanya also give the same instruction, that we should fulfill the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which is to deliver the chanting of the holy name to every town and village all over the world. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to teach the Yuga Dharma, and his representatives followed to continue to work in this regard, to fulfill Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission, delivering Krishna consciousness to everyone. The spiritual master is qualified according to how he instructs, that he will preach according to the Shastra. Just as the sadhus or the holy men are qualified also on the basis of scripture. They have to teach according to the scriptures. There should be no difference between the instructions of the spiritual master and the scriptures or the other holy men. They should all be in agreement that they teach according to the scriptures, according to the message of the Supreme Lord. Of course, studying the scriptures, one may come to different conclusions. In the Mahabharata, it is stated, Tarko pratishta shrutayo vibina nasav rishir yasya natam vibinam dharmasya tadvam nihitam guhayam mahajano yenagata sapanta. Tarko pratishta, that dry arguments are inconclusive. You know, people all like to argue, especially in the Kali Yuga. But simply arguing will not bring us to any real conclusion. So, tarko pratishta and shrutayo vibina. If you study the shruti, many people, they will study the shruti. Shruti means the Vedic literature. They will study this, the Vedas and Shrutayo Vibhina. They will also come to different conclusions. When we study the Vedas, many people bring out different things. Someone says the goal of life is liberation. Others say the goal of life is simply devotion to the Supreme Lord. They may have many different conclusions. The Vedas speak about many different things. In fact, we say Vedeshu Durlabham. It is very difficult to know God from the Vedas. So Shrutayo Vibhina. If we study the Vedic scriptures also, we come to many different conclusions. Then Nasavrishir Yashya Natam Vibhinam. The rishis, the different munis, they also come up with many different theories, different conclusions. One sage will come up with one conclusion, and then some other sage will come along and defeat it. And then someone else will come along and defeat his conclusion. And in this way, you never come to any proper understanding. Therefore, it is said, Dharmasya tattvam nihitam gohayam mahajano yena gita sapanta. That the absolute truth is hidden in the heart of the pure devotees. And we can understand the absolute truth by following in the footsteps of the mahajans. This is the conclusion of all the scriptures. That if we really want to know the absolute truth, you have to follow in the footsteps of the Mahajan. So, Prabhupada explains that in the modern times there are many different Mahajans. You know, there are politicians who are considered Mahajans, and even sportsmen are considered Mahajans, and movie stars also. You know, you have so many different Mahajans. But the actual Mahajans are the ones who know the conclusions of the absolute truth. The followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, like Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Baladeva Vidyabhusan, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasati Thakur, they understood the conclusions of all the revealed scriptures. And if we follow their teachings, just as Srila Prabhupada, our own Srila Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, has presented the conclusions of all of these Mahajans, he is also a Mahajan. By following the Mahajans, then we can actually know the real value of life, the real conclusions of the truth. So in this way, Lord Vishnu is instructing Maharaj Prithu about the goal of life, that he said, your duty is to give protection to the citizens of your kingdom. So Srila Prabhupada also takes up this point in the purport. He says, a common man must execute the rules and regulations of Varnashram Dharma by working in his prescribed duty according to the caste system. So there are different orders of life, different positions. We all have different responsibilities according to our social positions. For example, the Brahmana's duty is to study scriptures and to teach the scriptures. A Brahmana is also expected to worship the deity, and he can teach others to worship the deity. And Brahmanas can also solicit charity, and they can also give charity. It's unfortunate that in the Kali Yuga, the Brahmanas are the modern day Brahmanas, Kali Yuga Brahmanas, are expert in only one of the six activities. Expert in soliciting charity. The other activities they don't so much care to perform. Study scriptures, teach the scriptures, worship the deity or teach others, or give charity? No. But they'll take charity. So, this is Kali Yuga, you see. So, therefore, this Varnashram system is not very important in the Kali Yuga. It is stated that in the Kali Yuga, Kalosudra Sambhavam. In the Kali Yuga, No one is actually a Brahmin or a Kshatriya or Vaishya in the Kali Yuga, but rather every one of us by birth are on the level of Sudra or lower. But we can be elevated by proper spiritual practice. In this regard, Prabhupada would quote, or Sanatana Goswami quotes in Hari Bhakti Vilas, that just as bell metal can be transformed into gold by an alchemical process, in the same way, anyone who is properly initiated and trained by a bona fide spiritual master, then he can develop the qualities of a Brahmana. So Brahmanas, they have their duty. Maharaj Prithu, however, he's not a Brahmana, he's a Kshatriya. And the Kshatriya's duty, primary duty, is to give protection to the citizens in their kingdom. Therefore, Lord Vishnu is telling him like this, that this is your duty, you have to protect the citizens in your kingdom. The Kshatriyas, of course, just as there are no Brahmanas, in the modern age also, we don't find Kshatriyas. We don't find that people are really able to, and there's no leader who's really willing to give protection to others. They're simply concerned to protect themselves. The actual Kshatriya would go out and lead their army against people who were disturbing the peace and sanctity in their kingdom. Maharaj Parikshit, for example, would go around his kingdom, and when he saw that somebody was threatened, somebody had abused the bull and the cow, when he saw that the bull was standing on one leg only, and with the cow had tears in his eyes, then Maharaj Parikshit immediately challenged the culprit, and he forced that personality of Kali to submit to him. So Maharaj Parikshit was that kind of Kshatriya. He did not just simply sit in his palace and send others to do the work, but he himself went around the kingdom. And when he found any discrepancy in the social system, then he immediately corrected it. He did not allow any irreligion to take place within his kingdom. Nowhere was there illicit sex or intoxication or gambling, but everything was properly controlled. When the personality of Kali submitted to Maharaj Parikshit, then Maharaj Parikshit accepted his surrender. And he asked, when personality of Kali asked for a place where he could reside, he said, well, you can reside wherever there is irreligion. But the personality of Kali said, then I cannot reside anywhere. There will be nowhere for me to reside, because in your kingdom there is no irreligion. Maharaj Parikshit was that kind of ruler. So then he told the personality of Kali, then you can reside wherever there is hoarding of gold. Because wherever there is hoarding of gold, then irreligion will certainly come in that place. So just as Maharaj Parikshit ruled like that, so also did Lord Rama. Even today we remember the kingdom of Lord Ram, how everyone was satisfied and in a healthy and happy condition. And every day, anyone could go to the palace of Lord Ram, and if there was any complaint, they could go and personally complain to him. But nobody ever went, because everyone was so happy and so satisfied with the government of Lord Ram. So sometimes people talk about reinstituting the government of Lord Ram. They want Ram Raja, but they don't want Lord Ram. So that is the problem. They want the government of Ram without Lord Ram. So that is impossible. So the real problem in the world today is that there's no God consciousness. That people in general do not want God consciousness. They simply want sense gratification. They want economic development to help to allow them to have more sense gratification. But dharma and mukti, they have no interest in. They don't want that.
Just let us have artha and kama. So the kshatriyas, there's meant to be a proper organization of society. There should be Brahmins who set a good example, who are not interested in economic development and sense gratification, but at the same time, they're not neglectful, and they can guide people to achieve these things sufficiently. Not excessively, but sufficiently. It's the duty of the Brahmins to instruct the kshatriyas how to organize the social system and how to arrange for the material and spiritual well-being of the people. Of course, in Kali Yuga, politicians are only interested in their own material well-being. First their own well-being, and then they think of others. But it's all selfishness. Not everywhere in the world we find this, that the politicians are, cannot be trusted. Chanakya Pandit himself said, never trust politicians and women. Because women are a weaker sex, they're more gullible and easily cheated. And politicians also cannot be trusted. So this is a problem in the modern society. However, instruction is there. We need people to show the example. We have to set an example. The Krishna consciousness movement is to train that there should be some ideal class of people of good character. And we should know what is our duty, and we should do our proper duty. If we, according to our different positions, brahmachari, grihastha, vanapras, and sannyas, we have different duties. The brahmachari's duty is to perform sacrifice. Sacrifice means, of course, sankirtan. They should take part in sankirtan. And they should also study the scriptures. The hearing process is also part of a sacrifice, a hearing process. This is the duty of brahmachari, hearing and congregational chanting, taking part in the sankirtan movement. The grihastha's duty is charity. Of course, in this age, Kali Yuga, most people don't have a sufficient wealth to be charitable. They struggle to maintain their own life. And they're not able to give charity. But people who are wealthy, then they should utilize their excess wealth by giving charity. Vaishyas especially, who are engaged in some business activities, then they're expected to utilize their wealth towards supporting religious activities and helping to propagate the Sankirtan movement. The Vanaprastas and the Sannyasis, they have to do austerities and tapasya, because they're in the retired order of life. They've given up material duties. Their duties is therefore is to perform austerity and tapasya. And of course, in the Kali Yuga, that austerity is preaching. That they should go out for preaching. They should preach everywhere. And in this way, this is the greatest austerity in the Kali Yuga. To preach, to try to preach Krishna consciousness to the godless people. Because we see how difficult it is to preach, that generally people are not much interested in these things. So this is the austerity, to go and preach regardless. Actually, we know people are not interested. Therefore, we have to go to the people. If you simply wait for the people to come, nobody will come. But if you go, you have to go out and meet the people. You have to go there and preach and try to awaken Krishna consciousness in them. So these are the duties of the different varnas and ashrams. If Prabhupada explains, if we simply execute regularly and strictly the injunctions given for the different divisions of one's life, then one satisfies Lord Vishnu. Now, when Lord Chaitanya met Ramananda Rai, Lord Chaitanya asked Ramananda Rai, give some verse from the scripture about the goal of life.
and Ramananda Roy began with Varnashram, because that's the very beginning of spirit of religious life, when you start to follow Varnashram, recognizing your duty. But Lord Chaitanya rejected that. He said that is external. If you just simply execute Varnashram, you may not be very God conscious. You're just simply doing your duty. You're thinking about your family and you're respectful to the Brahmins and like that. But you're not really, you haven't developed any attraction or interest in service to God. You're just simply doing things out of some kind of responsibility. So that is the bottom of the ladder of spiritual progress. You see, you have to go if we want to advance, we cannot just simply be satisfied to follow Varnashram. And as I said, actually in Kali Yuga, there is no Varnashram. People in general don't follow Varnashram anyway. So by way of making spiritual advancement, it's not going to help us very much. We have to go higher. For that purpose, therefore, spiritual master is needed. Everyone needs to be guided by a spiritual master. Lord Krishna himself had a spiritual master. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had a spiritual master. Srila Prabhupada also had a spiritual master. And we take the instructions of the spiritual master and they guide us how to make progress in spiritual life. So the spiritual master should be seen as a representative of Krishna. As I said, he's not Krishna, but he's a representative. He's a via media. Sometimes Prabhupada described the position of the viceroy from England, that the Queen of England would send her representatives to different parts of the British Empire. And they would receive different gifts as honor, and the viceroy would take these things and bring them back and present them to the Queen of England. So in the same way, whatever honor is offered to the spiritual master does not think that honor is for himself, but he offers that to his own spiritual master, and in this way, it ultimately everything goes to Krishna. If the spiritual master thinks it is all meant for him, then he will be immediately fallen. He's no longer a spiritual master. Spiritual master is bona fide as much as he represents his own spiritual master and connects everything to the disciplic succession. The spiritual master cannot manufacture a new philosophy. He has to present the teachings as he has heard it from his own spiritual master. This is the system of disciplic succession. So, we see that sometimes people come forward who have some new philosophy, who have no connection with the bona fide disciplic succession, simply some speculative ideas, and they may even become popular and get a lot of followers, but we should understand that if they are not speaking according to scriptures and without the authority of disciplic succession, then such teachings are not bona fide and they cannot give us any benefit. We have to follow the previous acharyas, Mahajano Yena Gata Sapanta. We follow carefully in the footsteps of the acharyas. And this will keep us always safe and healthy in a healthy condition. But if we deviate, if we start to go off the track, then immediately danger will come. So we must always be careful to keep ourselves on guard, remembering, keep studying. That is why we study the scriptures, so that we can hear the instructions of the previous acharyas and we can check our own self, that we are following them and practicing according to their message. So Srila Prabhupada followed his own spiritual master. He taught us to
follow his instructions also. Whatever Prabhupada taught us, he had learned from his own spiritual master. Actually, Prabhupada said his own seminal father made him a devotee of Krishna. And he said, whatever my spiritual master taught me, it was the same as my own seminal father, except for one thing. He said, my own father didn't teach me to print books, but my spiritual master, my eternal father, he taught me the importance of printing literature and distributing them. But the worship of Krishna and the chanting of the holy name and studying scriptures, that he had already learned from his own father. But this preaching, the publishing of literature and distributing them, that was the special gift from his own spiritual master. So Prabhupada always kept that instruction in his mind, in heart. Whenever he got money, he would say, I will put it in my book fund and we will use it to print more books. And Prabhupada had been told by his own spiritual master that whenever you get money, you use it to print books. If we have a lot of money, you know, if there's more than sufficient, then we can use that to build temples. But in this age, we see that temple construction is not so important. That even you build beautiful temples and so on, it won't attract so many people. There will, you know, people in general are busy, and the traffic's are problems, and get people to move around. And how many places can you build nice temples, you know? But book distribution, that is the much more powerful, because by distributing books, then the message of Krishna can go everywhere, to every town and village, and everyone can be awakened. So now, of course, also our preaching movement is going on in many different ways. Prabhupada said that don't think everyone will come and live in the temple. We know that's not going to happen. But we can have preaching programs everywhere. We organize programs in many people's homes, sometimes in people's offices or people's shops. Sometimes we go to schools, many different places. And in this way, we are able to teach the message of Krishna consciousness. So, temple construction, actually temple worship was the process for the previous age. But for the Kali Yuga, the process is Sankirtan. And part of that Sankirtan movement is distributing books and preaching. So now, all over the world, more and more preaching programs are going on in people's homes, in different residences and so on. You know, maybe not every day, but at least once a week, like that. And in this way, people get more opportunity to hear about Krishna consciousness. We have, in some places, they have Bhakti Briksha centers. In other places, they have something called a Namhata center. Bhakti Briksha center is usually in people's homes. Namhata is more like a place where they'll have a meeting once a week. But here, you have a full temple. Every day, you have programs. So you're all blessed, you know, you're all very fortunate. That every day, you can morning and evening and throughout the day, there's always some activities, nice activities going on here. You have the chance to see the deities. Many other places are not so fortunate. So, what we hope you can always appreciate your good fortune, that you have such a nice temple, and you should think also how to dedicate yourself more and more to serving Krishna and helping Srila Prabhupada in this mission. Okay, so we will stop. Any question? Any comment? Yes, Prabhu?
People in Kali Yuga are not following mostly the Varnashrama Dharma, and mostly the people are Kalau Sodra Sambhavata, and they are not cultivating the godly consciousness, so that the preaching movement of Hare Krishna movement is much preferred and been propagated. But why ISKCON is so much concentrating on Varnashrama Dharma propagation?
Why are we concentrating on Varnashrama Dharma? We're not concentrating on the Varnashrama Dharma, but Varnashrama Dharma is a Vedic system. It's the arrangement of the Lord to organize society. And Prabhupada explains these four divisions of society are there everywhere. No, even today, although there's no Varnashram, there are people who are Brahminical, you know, who are inclined to study and read books and scriptures and teach. And there are people who are managers, who have that Ishwara Bhav, who are able to control and organize things. And then there are people who are business-minded, you know, they have to do this buying and selling all the time. And there are people also who need to be instructed and told what to do. So these four divisions of society are everywhere. Of course, when Prabhupada explains that we're not trying to reinstitute Varnashrama Dharma, the Varnashrama Dharma, that would be impossible. But we want to try to institute something called Daivi Varnashram. Daivi Varnashram is the principle that everyone will work for the satisfaction of the Lord. That whatever they're doing, let them do it for the satisfaction of Krishna. That is the most important thing. That everyone, even people who can't follow four principles or who can't chant Hare Krishna, that they can all work. They can be given the inspiration to work for the satisfaction of the Supreme Lord, Sri Krishna. And this way their life will be successful. Another question?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, whenever we hear glories of holy name, sometimes the immediate motivation becomes for chanting is that it is important, not because my spiritual master wants me to chant or I should chant for his pleasure or Krishna's pleasure. Rather, because the holy name is so glorious, we hear that all the energies are invested in the holy name and benefits of holy name. Sometimes these come as the immediate motivation. They come as the immediate motivation than to please Guru and Krishna, which is not very focused. How to go about it?
You mean you're saying rather than pleasing Guru and Krishna,
The immediate motivation to chant is because it is important, the holy name.
Because it's important.
Because when we hear the glories of holy name.
Oh, people's motivation is because it's important, not for pleasing Guru and Krishna. Well, whatever reason their motivation is, you know, it's good. If they're chanting the holy name, that's the main thing. Let them chant. And as they chant more and more, then gradually they will understand that we're chanting for the pleasure of Krishna and Guru. But there's nothing wrong. If the main thing is somehow or other get them to chant. Whatever reason they chant, you know, if they can just understand that this chanting is important, okay, let them chant. There's no harm in that. Whatever reason, whatever their motivation is, if they're chanting, that's the main thing. Let them chant. And then gradually they can get more knowledge and understand why and what the purpose of the chanting is. So we don't worry about that. The rules and regulations, other things, you know, they all come later. But somehow or other get them attached to Krishna. Get them attached to chanting. So that's good.
Actually, this is my problem, which I said I'm not asking for.
Well, it's not a problem. You know, the main thing is you're chanting. You know, just keep chanting and hearing. And if you hear, then you also hear that, you know, that we do the chanting also for Krishna's pleasure. But you've understood it's important. That's the main thing. That's good. You understood it's important and you're doing it. So that's nice, you know, nobody's going to complain. Nobody's complaining that, you know, you should be doing, you know. The main thing is that you're chanting. It's not a problem. The problem is there if you don't chant. That's a problem. But you're chanting, so it's no problem. Any other question? Okay. So then we will stop. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.